We continue be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach to discuss the halacha of nidrei tzedaka, and that if nidrei tzedaka become obligatory, even if one just had the machshava without, verbalizing it. As we said, the Rama takes a very strong position that by any type of tzedaka, as it has to be. As soon as one has the machshava, that's enough to obligate him. The Pesachei Tshuva and the Gil Yom HaShoah quote a Tshuvas Eishtos. We mentioned it earlier in our previous year, that the Rama only is referring to a situation where he said. He verbalized his obligation to give tzedakah. Just the amount that he wants to give tzedakah, he didn't verbalize. For that, says the Eishtos, says the Rama, that if we combine his articulation of his obligation to give tzedakah with his machshava to the amount, he will be obligated to give that amount. But in a situation where he did not say anything, his machshava alone would not obligate him. Most Paiskim don't understand the Rama that way. The Shal Sechuvas Imre Yosher in Chelik Beis Simen Kuf Samach Beis, the Shal Sechuvas Shevet Alevi Chelik Beis Simen Kuf Chavav, the Debre Tzina Rav in a Tshuva in Chelik Beis Simen Ches, all take the approach that the Eish Dos's reading in the Rama is not Pashup Pshat in any way, that's what the Rama means. However, there is a halacha of by Hegdish Amirasai Legavaya Kimisirasai Lehejit. We know that halacha is that if someone does a business transaction with someone else, the only time that transaction is halachically recognized is when there was a kinyan. But there's a special halacha of amirasa legevaya kemisirasa lehegit, that by hegdish, a kinyan is not required. As soon as amirasa legevaya, as soon as someone verbalizes his obligation, it's considered a kinyan. So there's a few questions. One question to discuss is, do we say this by tzedakah as well? So the Achronim say that even if we follow the opinion of the Rama, that once one has a machshava to give tzedakah, he becomes obligated to give the tzedakah. It's not the same as amiras l'gvoy kimisras l'hejit. It only is in the category of a neder. And therefore, by hegdish, if amiras l'gvoy makes a kinyan, I can no longer retract, even toich kedei dibur. By tzedakah, even according to the Rama, that if one has a mind to give this tzedakah, he's obligated. It doesn't create such a situation, and toich kedei dibur, he could be chayzer. And the Beis Shloima says even a bigger chiddush, that not everybody agrees. Rav Chaim Oizer doesn't agree with this chiddush, but Beis Shloima says that yes, the Rama says that if I thought that I'm going to, my machshava to give tzedakah obligates me, but if I had machshava to give to one ani, so I can't not give that amount to tzedakah. But says the Beis Shloima, I don't have to give it to that tzedakah, I could give it to another tzedakah. Interesting question, the Reb Reuven Grozovsky in the Chedusha of Reuven here on Simon Vav raises. Here we're saying that the Rama takes a very strict approach. And the Rama's approach is that as soon as somebody had a machshava to give tzedakah, he's obligated to give the tzedakah. The Rama himself, as we read the words of the Rama in the previous year, is of the opinion that the Rosh disagrees with Rama. The Rosh says a machshava, even by tzedakah, doesn't obligate you. But it's interesting, asks Rama, that the same Rosh that's lenient in this halacha is machmer in the halacha of a mirasal gevay k'misirasal hagdish, that by not only by kachim do we say that rule, that even by tzedakah do we say that rule. So Rav Reuven asks, isn't the Rosh sort of self-contradictory? Here he's being makel in hilchos tzedakah, not like the Rama, and saying that you're not obligated until you verbalize it. And here he's being machmer and saying that amirasa legvaya kimisirasoi lehegit. So, says Rav Reuven, a beautiful vart. Reuven says there are two separate concepts here. There's one concept of at what point am I obligated? And says Rav Reuven, that just like we find, this is going to be a concept that's going to be recurring in our sector, that levate the society, that one does not become obligated until he articulates the society with his mouth, his intention. Kachim, says Reb Reuven, says holds the Rosh, is the only exception to that rule, and therefore it's not considered an obligation until I actually verbalized it. That's one halacha. But now that I did properly verbalize it, and I do have in front of me that obligation, now it's a whole new situation. Now it's indeed tzedakah, and tzedakah there will be a din of a mirasa l'gvaya k'mirasa l'hegit. As we said at the beginning of our shir, beginning of the previous shir, in answer to the Reim's question, many achrayim, the Karen Oira, and other achrayim, are of the opinion that the only time the Rama says that a machshava to give tzedakah is considered an obligation is only in a situation where it was never my intention to verbalize that obligation. However, if somebody had a machshava, that was he's sitting by an appeal, and as they're making the appeal, he thinks about a amount that he wants to give for tzedakah. But of course, it was his intention to announce his obligation or any other situation such as that. There, certainly, even the Rama would agree that his obligation, since he never had a mind to fully accept it upon himself until he says what he wants to do, the machshav itself is not obligation. And therefore, let's say his machshav was for a greater amount, but when he came to actually verbalize his pledge, he pledged a smaller amount, it would not be an issue. The question comes up, very much connected to our Gemara, because our Gemara says that if somebody was mafker something, it may be in the category of tzedakah. And in fact, I saw a chiddush from Shlomo Zalman in the Mincha Shlomo, where Shlomo Zalman says that if someone, lost money, and that money was picked up and put into tzedakah, he will get credit as if he gave tzedakah. He never intended to give tzedakah. It's no different, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, than Hefker. And our Gemara says that if you were mafka something and it was picked up by an oni, it's considered as if you gave tzedakah. Why is this question relevant? Because let's say somebody wanted to give a gift to someone else, and that person happens to be a poor person. So it seems that if you give a gift to someone else, and that person happens to be an ani, you mekayim mitzvah tzedakah. It's certainly no worse than the Hefker of our Gemara. So what happens if somebody had a mind to give a matana to someone else who happens to be an Ani? Would the Ramah say that that is considered like he had a machshava to do staka, that he has to fulfill? So the Achronim say no. Because even the Ramah is only referring to a situation where the person is intending to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah. And that's where the Torah is mechadesh, and the Ramah says that the chiddush is not limited to hegdish. The chiddush applies to tzedakah as well. That a machshava alone is enough. But in a situation where it was not my intention were not to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah, even though when I will do this act, I will ultimately fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah, that still is not my intent. And when it was not my intent, l'shem mitzvah, the Ramah doesn't say that the machshav alone obligates me. The question comes up, what would be if someone obligated himself in writing? He wrote down a pledge. Would that also, how would we consider that? Actually, and we're going to Mitzvah Shem discuss this question as we get deeper into the Amasechta, there's a fundamental machloikis if a nether b'ksav is considered a nether. Some hold that a nether b'ksav is no worse than any other nether. Some actually hold that a nether b'ksav is even a stronger form of nether. Why? Because a regular nether, as we've learned and will continue learning, can be annulled or could be cancelled through hatara. But it could be that a nether b'ksav cannot be cancelled with hatara, because that would be in the category of loy osa diber umevatel maisa. I wrote down my obligation. How does hatara work? Through speaking to the rav or speaking to the bezdin. Loy osa diber umevatel maisa. Others say that no, the Torah said levate besvasayim, and therefore the halacha is only when you the Torah, the whole parasha of Nedarim, as we discussed in our first year on this Masechta, is actually a chiddush. How my words can have such power. And therefore, it was only said in a situation where I express it. Writing it is not considered a nether. So what happens if someone wrote a check, gave it to an Ani, can he now be Chayzer? Most Achroinim are very machmer in that situation. In other words, let's say you gave a check to an Ani, and now for whatever reason you want to cancel the check. Number one, they say that according to the opinions that a nether b'ksav is a nether, so you certainly have a nether. If we follow the opinions of Ramah, if you wrote a check, you certainly had a machshava. And if you had a machshava, the halacha is that you have to fulfill your machshava, according to Ramah, by tzedakah. And then this opinion, which is not really in the scope of today's shir, but there are those that say that a check is considered like a shtar chayv. And if once you have a shtar chayv, you're obviously obligated to fulfill your chayv. If someone gets an aliyah and he makes a mishaberach, the question is the amount, the obligation that he gave by the mishaberach considered a nether? So some want to say that it's not considered a nether, because all the person who gets the aliyah does is say the amount. The Gabbai is the one that says, Bavo Sheyitain. I will say that the Gabbai is the shliach of the person who's making the pledge. We know the halacha is that ain't shlichus b'nedarim. However, some want to learn that since he is saying the amount, so even though he's not saying the entire obligation, but the Gabbai is saying Ba'avo Sheyitein, and he's saying the amount, that is considered as if he made another. If, and therefore, others say, we apply the concept of Shtika Kaido, and the fact that he stands there and he agrees, that makes him obligated. However, if we're following the concept that we're learning in our shiur today, the concept of the remark that a neder b'machshava half a neder, so certainly this is no worse than a neder b'machshava, and he would be obligated to fulfill it. The question that comes up after having this very extensive discussion is if someone is in shul and there are people that are coming to collect money for tzedakah, and he has a mind to give an oni, this, he takes our money, or he has a mind to give the money according to Ramah, and now, for whatever reason, that person never comes to ask the money from him. Would he be obligated to give it or not? So it seems that he would be obligated. So now the question is, what happens if that person never ends up collecting from him and he can't find him? What should he do? Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the Sefer Derech Amunah quotes the Chazon Ish that he should give that money to a different Ani. Rav Yashiv held that he doesn't have to give it at all. Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Halicha Shlomo says because of these issues, before in the morning, before somebody starts davening and he knows that there are going to be people that are going to be collecting from him, he should have in mind that it should not be considered tzedakah until I actually put it into the hands of the Ani. And therefore, he will avoid a lot of problems. Along the same lines, the question that comes up is if somebody obligated himself to give tzedakah, and he doesn't remember how much he obligated himself to give, or he doesn't remember to which tzedakah he had in mind to give. It would seem that, as we're learning, the obligation of giving tzedakah is such a serious obligation, and because it's such a serious obligation, the right thing to do is you should give tzedakah. You should think, what is the minimum, what was the maximum I would give? And that's the amount you should give. That's one issue. Another issue, since you don't know to whom you obligated yourself, if possible, you should give that amount to all of the possible stockers you might have had in mind to give. If, however, that becomes exceedingly difficult, you should probably do Hataras Nadarim. And even though Hataras Nadarim or Nidrit Stokka is complicated, in this situation, it probably is the only option.